Hello friends, I'll be taking you through a journey of a chapter called The Integrative Manager. The Integrative Manager, a very new approach towards identifying problems, solving them, and also taking decisions. It's an approach that's a need of the hour today, and so this new subject has been introduced for us to initiate ourselves into a new way of thinking, of understanding how to handle complex issues. So let me take you through the run of the very first chapter, which is titled as Choices, Conflict and Creative Sparks. Choices, Conflict and Creative Sparks. As the title indicates, whenever we have choices in front of us, whenever we have choices, options in front of us, it creates a conflict in the mind, whether to take decision A or decision B, decision C. And invariably what happens is, through the process of elimination, we take a decision either A or B or C. At times, we even land up taking decisions which could be a combination of A and B and also C. Now, we are aware of this, or we are not aware of this many times. Now, in most cases, we are encouraged to take decisions in such a way that either we choose A or B or C, but not two or all the three of them. This is the way decision making has been encouraged. Underline the word encouraged. It is thought and expected that when you take a decision by eliminating, that is a proper decision. And there's a history behind it, why it has been so. So we are going to be talking about the choices, and these choices create a conflict within us, and this conflict can be seen as something unwanted, or we can see them as what are called as creative sparks. The fact that there are more choices gives me a scope for being more creative, for doing something different, which is very important in today's world of complex working, global working, right? So let's take on the learning objectives of this chapter, which is the following things. One is, what is integrative thinking? We'll be running through what is integrative thinking step by step, understanding certain aspects of integrative thinking, the background, thoughts and the actions of how Lee Chin rescued Canadian Mutual Fund AIC. It starts off with a case study, a live and actual case study of something that happened in Canada. A company called AIC, which is a mutual fund company, which was headed by a gentleman called Lee Chin, and how the company went into a crisis, and having gone through the crisis, how Lee Chin took a type of a decision, a stance, which was different from the normal, which made a major difference to the company in terms of turning it around from progressive losses and almost extinction into the profit zone. So we'll try and understand the background, the thoughts and the actions that Lee Chin put himself into. And then we talk about the background, the thoughts and the actions of concepts behind the Four Seasons Hotel model of business. Many of us must have heard about Four Seasons Hotel. How did that particular model emerge? What were the thoughts? What were the actions? What was the background to it? We'll try and understand. This is one of the learning objectives. And then we also talk about the FMC giant, Procter & Gamble, which was rescued from acute crisis through an unconventional decision taken by the then CEO A.J. Lafley. And then finally, we'll talk about, as a learning objective, use of opposable minds for integrative thinking. So the structure of the whole flow will be as follows. We have the phase one, which is about integrative thinking. Phase two, integrative thinking and the rescue of AIC. Phase three will be doing versus thinking, or doing or thinking. Then the phase four will cover meet the cast. Phase five will be about cultivating the opposable mind or the opposite mind. And finally, we'll be summing it up with a summary as usual. So let's take the very first one. Let me take you through a discussion about how we take decisions. The whole discussion starts with how we take decisions. How do we normally take decisions? Do we all take decisions in life? Yes, of course we do. Giving a lecture is a decision which I have taken. I have been called to take the lecture, so I have come here, I am taking a lecture, I am taking a decision. Now when I take a decision, I begin with a goal which I want to achieve. As we know, as students of management, our scientific focus, structured thinking tells us that we ensure that the goal is SMART, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic and time-bound, a SMART goal. So if I have to take a lecture on integrative manager, I have to set a goal, I have to make it very specific, measurable, attainable, realistic and time-bound. I have to structure the whole presentation to you. Right? Then what do? I take stock of the resources available, men, machine, materials, money and methods. The four M's and the fifth M, methods. So I have to map my resources and keep them ready. Then what am I supposed to do? I have to chalk out how I will go about achieving the goal. What will I do first? I'll read the book. I'll read the case studies. I may talk to a few knowledgeable people. I'll draw from my own experiences as a trainer. And all these things are going to be the guidance for me to deliver the lecture to you. And then what I do is I plan my course of action. How am I going to deliver the lecture? Do I first talk about theory? Do I talk about case studies? Do I mix all of them? So this is a course of action which I need to plan for myself. And while planning, I create a number of alternate plans, courses of action to be taken. What if this type of a plan doesn't work due to some contingencies? I need to have an alternate plan. I need to have a contingency plan also. There's nothing but I'm talking about the planning chapter from the subject principles of management, which all of us have gone through. Right? And then finally, what I do is when I execute the plans, I decide on only one plan, the best plan, and eliminate the others. Right? I must have laid out three or four plans, three or four different approaches of putting the lecture in front of you. And then finally, when I come here, chances are, in most cases, 9 out of 10 cases, that out of the 4 or 5, one particular plan is put into action. Is it not true? Do I put 2 or 3 plans into action together? Normally, no. Normally, no. But when you develop a certain type of a thinking process, when you develop a certain type of an action orientation, then you find yourself integrating several choices together. That's very interesting. Conventionally, we have been taught eliminate and take decisions. Here we are talking about something different. Are we contesting what has already been taught to us? No. We are going beyond that using the sanctity of what we have already knowing as decision making. So let's proceed further and try to understand what is in store for us. This approach is called as an either or approach. Either or approach. Either this or that. It's also called as an exclusive approach. I exclude, I eliminate between A and B. I take A, I may reject B. I may take B, I may reject A. Either or approach. Of taking decisions. The either or approach of taking decisions makes decision making easier through the process of elimination. Why do I say easier? Look at the way your brain operates. Your brain is willing to take a decision which is making it comfortable with the present circumstances. Any ordinary human being, whenever he or she takes a decision, if you notice what's going on in your mind, there are 2 or 3 options in front of you, choices. So you tend to take a decision which is making you comfortable, which is making you understand what's going on. This is the way every normal human being operates when it comes to decision making. You'll take those decisions which are pleasurable, which give you comfort, which gives you a justification, and you stand by it. the other things you may not understand and ignore perhaps. So let us say that you are a person who loves to go by train to a certain location. You are a person who loves to go by train. And to go to the location, there are various courses of action, courses of travel. There's a train, a rail approach. You can go by railroad, that is by trains. You can go by car, by the road. Or you can actually take a combination of road as well as rail. Three different choices are there in front of you. The chances are that you would take every opportunity to take a decision only to go by train. It's because that makes sense to you. If I relate this with behavior of human beings, every behavior is emerging from a certain type of a value you have for the behavior because it's useful for you. Since you find train travel valuable for you in terms of maybe time, maybe in terms of economy of the fare, etc., you will justify that train travel is the best. So all decisions you'll be taking may be tending towards train travel rather than traveling by road. To the extent to which, even if you travel by train and things go late or something, you'll still have a certain amount of justification for whatever you're doing. Most of us do this when it comes to decision making. What I'm conveying to all of us is that when we have choices, we take a decision which is in line with our own comfort zone, which makes us feel happy. Observe this, watch this about yourself. Drawing money from the ATM, buying a brand new mobile phone, okay, and then maybe going for a picnic, choosing a certain specialization in a course. You take the various decisions you take, eating food, choosing your food, your cuisine, when you go to the restaurant. Don't you more or less agree that you choose that which is making you comfortable? This is the way human beings operate. So most of the decision making, when we are taking an either or approach, we take the one which satisfies certain conditions and also makes us feel comfortable. How many of us take decisions which are just opposite of what makes us comfortable? How many of us take decisions which are just the opposite of what makes us comfortable? Think about it. Very few. Unless you raise your thinking to a different level. Unless you raise your thinking to a different level. So, coming back to this, the either or approach of decision making turns decision making easier through the process of elimination. At the same time, the approach misses out on the positives of the eliminated options. Most of us know about it. Imagine a new mobile has been launched, and then you have done your research, and you are almost convinced that this is the mobile for me, and you buy it. Immediately after buying, somebody comes and tells you that there is a mobile that is better than this. A friend of yours, he convinces you. Heart of heart, you're convinced. And then suddenly you feel that, oh my God, have I made a right decision? But what happens within you, there is a certain amount of turmoil. You might feel a little bad for some time. But what do all human beings do? They justify and bring themselves back to their comfort zone. You say, no, my mobile is good. That mobile has got this problem. The brand is not okay. The after-sale service is not okay. You might go along and say this. So when we take a decision, we know that there are positives about the eliminated choice. We actually miss out on that. But then you may turn around and tell me, but that's how decision-making is all about. It's about take one and leave the other. And when you leave the other, I know very well that in the other, I'm missing the positives. People accept this and they say, what can I do? Integrative thinking says you can do much more than that thinking. You don't have to really eliminate the positive of the other choice. You can take that and include it also. Sounds interesting? It is. It is. How do you go about doing it? That's a method, that's a structure that we are going to be studying in this chapter, in this particular subject, right? So, it is an excluding process, not an including process, which we do when we are into an either or approach, right? Integrative thinking and action opens you up to immense possibilities of including many factors which would otherwise have been excluded. I would like to have a high-end phone, technologically superior. Cost is a factor. I don't want to pay more. Do you all agree that today, in the world of cell phones, the mobile market, we have a combination of these things coming together? Are we not coming across manufacturers who are giving you a high-tech product at a very affordable price? That's integrative thinking. Whoever told you that technology will always be expensive? Whoever told you that anything that is cheaper is not technologically superior? Combining these two things is what has happened now today. If you take in the 21st century, whatever we guys are going through now, practically every aspect of our living has got integrative thinking. Many, many things, the pen drive that you're using, the ATM card you're using, the restaurants where you go to eat food, various things. In a place like Mumbai, for example, the monorail that has come, all these are an outcome of an integrative thinking. Wherein what I do is I take the convenience of A, I take the convenience of B, combine them together, and then I bring about a convenience which is fulfilling both the conditions. Right? Now, this approach is so easy that many of us tend to miss out on it. Conventional decision making has encouraged elimination, but integrative thinking says don't eliminate, take the best and leave the rest. That's what this is all about, right? So taking it further, friends, integrative thinking is a field which was originated by Graham Douglas in 1986. The terminology was coined by him, and it involves what? It involves a particular approach called CSORA, SORA. In SORA, what are we doing? Satisfying, optimum, achievable results ahead. I'll explain this as we go down the line. It's about saying that in the very first time, when you're doing a brainstorming, when you're planning, you don't eliminate, you include. You look at the various possibilities of A, B, C, D, E, map them properly, and take the best of all, integrate them together, and then take an optimum decision. Right? So, this process was again devised by Graham Douglas, and according to him, which is true actually, it's a process which can take care of any problem solving that you have in your mind, any problem solving. Right? The SORA process employs a set of triggers of internal and external knowledge. That's very interesting and important thing to know. As you go down this particular chapters, you need to realize one thing, that integrative thinking is not about a push button approach. You press the button and you get things done. It's not about you being aloof from the decision making. It's a combination of your personal knowledge about many things, about the way your brain operates, about the way your thinking process is, the awareness about what you think and how you think and what actions you take, personal knowledge system, which is the internal, and the external knowledge about what is outside in store for me and what can I do about the world outside. So the first step, which I want all of us to understand, is it's a transformative thinking and action for the self, and also about understanding the outside in a much more different way. If I can put it in terms of strength, weaknesses, opportunities and threats, strength, weaknesses, opportunities and threats, SWOT. It's about re-identifying my strengths and weaknesses, looking a little more closer into myself, and exploiting the opportunities and threats outside in a much more expansive way. So this is a system in which one has to be aware about what is it that one can do creatively. An integrative approach starts from me and my thinking. Me able to be aware that there are choices and alternatives. If, for example, I am now standing in front of the camera and I am having my slides to my left. Let's assume for the time being that due to some reason, it's not possible for me to stand on the to the right of the slides, right? As you're facing the slide, to the right of the slides, I'm there. suppose it so happens that I am in a situation where this is not possible. What would a conventional thinker do? Sorry, I can't do it because I am used to standing here and then talking, right? But if you are an integrative person and you are comfortably integrative, if the need be, I may have to go to the other side and talk from there with the slides being on my right. I hope this is understood by you. How many of us have got the flexibility to go from the left of the slide to the right of the slide and vice versa? How many of us have got the flexibility of making a presentation even without a PowerPoint? How many of us have got a flexibility of taking number of things, integrating them together and presenting it? Some people seem to have it naturally. Many others do not have it. Is it that it is an inborn quality? Maybe so in some cases, but if it's inborn, it doesn't mean that others can't learn. It's like scientific management process which we learned, principles of management. It's not that one person or two people have learned it. It's inborn in them. Every one of us, when we follow a certain step-by-step scientific process, anybody can replicate. So an integrative thinking has been actually seen by a number of people who have put it into practice. A number of success stories have been taken in these chapters and these are discussed with us. And when we see the success stories of many of these people, we find that there is something common. That common part of it is a running which is created into a particular approach, a theory which can be replicated by you and me. Anybody can do it. The point is, am I open to it? Do I see multiple options around me? Or am I into straitjacket thinking? Take a case of a lecture itself. I could take a lecture with the PowerPoint. I could use clippings. I could use PowerPoints and clippings and be comfortable with that also. I may not have any of these things and yet I can take a lecture. I may not have a classroom sometimes, but I may be able to take a lecture. I am giving you the number of possibilities into which I can fit myself into. Because all of you will understand and realize that conditions do not always remain constant. And today when we talk about business world, my dear friends, conditions are not constant. They keep changing. When they keep changing, and if you are in a fixed way of approach, you crumble. But if you have the flexibility in you, when the conditions change, you can tap on your inner strengths and weaknesses and you can adapt yourself pretty well. When you stay focused into what needs to be done, when you stay focused into your goals, then flexibility comes very easy. The application of integrative thinking is awesome. Various places, various situations, air travel, which I do very frequently, staying in hotels, traveling from one city to the other, maybe by road sometimes. So there are many, many things that could be different from what we expect. Am I going to be dogmatic? Am I going to say that this is the way I want to do it, otherwise I can't do it? What happens? I limit myself. And when I limit myself, who's a loser? It's me. A lot of people get stuck up in straitjacket thinking. Now when I say straitjacket thinking, I am not indicating that it's not correct. It's okay, it's fine. Do I have the flexibility to come out of a straitjacket thinking and adapt to something new? Now that is something that is found wanting with many people. As you gain experience in life and you succeed with a certain type of a repetitive behavior, as you gain success in life through a certain repetitive behavior, those behaviors become your own success factors. Don't you realize and agree that these behaviors make you not only successful but also stuck in a certain thinking process? Now, is it possible for you to come unstuck and also think differently after say 8 or 10 or 12 years of experience in a company? That is what we are talking about. That's what we are addressing. Are you open to the fact that something new can be done other than what you know? That's what we are addressing. Are you too much rigid about my way or the highway? These are certain questions one needs to ask oneself when addressing this particular subject. It's a very open way of looking at the subject. If you look at this from a very straitjacket point of view, you'll find that it's pretty challenging. But on the other hand, if you say that, wow, let me see what I can explore. What are the things that are possible for me to do which I have never done? How have I handled my finances, for example? Am I only into savings, low risk? Do I want to make more money? Do I need more money? Am I willing to go for a risk type of an investment? Risk type of an investment is too very dangerous. So can I combine these two things? Some of us are doing it. Now, what are the various possibilities from where I can operate? This particular approach is based on what is called as possibility thinking. It's possible. What can we do differently? By doing something differently, am I going to get some different results? Am I going to integrate things? Now, these are the provocations. These are the few questions. These are the few things which one needs to think and understand. Right? So, it's a combination of internal and external knowledge put together. And this facilitates associations between what may have been regarded as unrelated parts of a problem. I'll take some examples now. We only relate to what we think is important for us. And by default, not by design, in most cases, we do not even look at things which are seemingly unrelated. I'm using the word seemingly. I'm a trainer. I'm also a B school faculty member. And then when I'm training and teaching, I may tend to ignore, let's assume, something to do with the finances. It's possible. So finance may not be of a great value to me. I may really not look into it. I may, for example, ignore something which seems to be unrelated to me, maybe housekeeping, maybe. Now, when I do not look at these two directions, what happens? I am not able to envisage that there are certain things about these two areas which are affecting my own work. I repeat, there are certain things about these two areas which may be affecting my own work. We are not living in a world of isolation. You may be working in a department, finance department, HR or quality control or whatever. Now, we tend to become focused on what we do, and we don't understand the implications of other departments supporting us and we also supporting them. It's intellectually understood. But from an experiential point of view, from an adaptability point of view, very few of us are able to see this. And that aspect is a part of human quality. One has to pause and ask oneself a question. Why is it that I do not enjoy music? Some people just are stone deaf. They don't enjoy music. And they say, what's in the music? A noise is being made and you guys are dancing. I know people would say that. Strange for me, but for them it's not strange. What if that person steps out of his thinking and starts dancing? He listens to music. Initially, he'll feel disturbed. He may get angry. He may run away also. But suppose he persists. Suppose he starts looking at it differently, which comes through a certain amount of willingness, then he is in the path of understanding something which was once upon a time unrelated to him. So one more key word which I would like all of you to remember is there are many things about life, in your life and my life, which are seemingly unrelated. Can I explore that? Can I look into those areas? What looks unrelated is related to me. What looks unrelated is related to me. It looks unrelated because I have not given it a thought. CEOs, senior managers in organizations are trained into looking into the unrelated parts of their work. When you're at the junior level, when you're at a middle management level, you look at related parts only. It's expected. But when you go higher, when you start looking at the unrelated parts also, then you see the larger picture. It's not that only my perception is the right perception. No. I may be the most successful person. I may be a brand. But my view is my view, but it doesn't mean that some other view is not a view. We tend to become like that. When I have this tunnel vision, then I may run my company only my way. And so when there are complexities coming up, when there are major changes happening, I may find myself not very adept, not very effective in taking decisions. This aspect is one of the major reasons for which we are learning this subject, to understand how we get stuck into tunnel thinking, into tunnel vision after some time, and how to challenge our own tunnel vision and go beyond, because that is the imperative of today's working. Hence, we are learning this subject, integrative manager, right?